Well, we're going to take a couple of minutes to really look at the questions I posed just a few minutes ago. Why do we sing so much in church? And then what are we doing, or what could we be doing when we are singing? If we're going to spend the amount of time we are singing as the church, we might want to know what we're doing. And so I want to provide for us a little bit of theological framework, some biblical truth behind that in a moment. But before we jump into that, I want to just shout out to all the friends that joined us either online or in person for our Wake Up with Worship Monday through Saturday of this past week. Come on, where you at, fam? It was so good to have you all here. And I believe God showed up in just some powerful ways to remind us that a rhythm of waking up with worship is probably the rhythm that we should wake up with every day. It's probably the discipline that a real disciple of Jesus wakes up with. And there's still an opportunity for all of us to grow in that, but to launch a day with Jesus, you gotta wake up with him. And so hopefully this has developed a little bit of a rhythm in that. But in the last week, we covered every day, one of Gary Thomas writes this book called Sacred Pathways. And there are 9 different ways that he talks about in the book that we can connect with God. It's not an exhaustive list, but it just gives a great bunch of handles around how we might find our unique way in worshiping with God. So if you walked in today and you're just like, man, I still don't get the singing thing, hold on, we're gonna get there in just a second. But I just wanna let you know that that's probably because there might be a different pathway in which you have a primary connection to God. And maybe music isn't your strongest connection to God, but Gary really lays out a pathway for all of us. And it's not that one is better than the other, it's just that God, like Corinthians says, has wired us up one body with many parts. Thank God. Because it'd be real weird if all of us were an arm. But thank God, he's put a whole body together that looks different and unique to be his hands and feet to the world. Isn't that amazing? I love that imagery. And so you can check out that book online. You can go to our webpage, hillsidechurches.com. There's an assessment on the page that we put up there last week, the hillsidechurches.com/on-your-way, because we want you to be figuring out on your way, how do I prepare to just walk into my day, to wake up with worship? So we provided a whole bunch of resources, Gary Thomas's book being one of them. There are 9 pathways, and I don't know if we've thrown it up on the screen yet, but if not, I'm just gonna blast through them really quick. There's the naturalist, the sensate, traditionalist, the ascetic, the activist, the caregiver, the enthusiast, the contemplative, and the intellectual. And there's a whole bunch of information around all of those. But I encourage you to take that assessment and find out what your primary portal of connecting with God is, because it'll fuel your private worship, your personal worship. And then you'll have something to bring in here on the weekend when you come, because you'll know a little bit more about God because you've been living that out in your day-to-day life. So that being said, we're going to move into just laying a little bit of foundation for us from the scripture about why we sing. And I'm fascinated by why we sing, because I do a lot of it. We do a lot of it, don't we? And I'm so thankful, because when I look to the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, from beginning to the end, here's what we find. Music, singing, are a consistent thread throughout the entire scripture. You can find it starting in Genesis. You can find it all the way to the sound and the song of heaven that the angels are singing. And I want to just show us in the scriptures just a little bit about the command and the invitation that God gives us to be people that sing, even if you're not a singer. All right, are you ready? Check out these verses, these scriptures. All of these without prerequisite. It's not asking you, are you a good singer? How, on a 1 to 10, like where do you think you are on this? It's without prerequisite, just a command and an invitation from the scripture to you and for me. And then we're going to talk about what we're doing when it happens. So let's look at this together, starting in Isaiah.
Check out this. This is Isaiah, and it says, verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies.
Come on, that's Isaiah. That's going back to the Old Testament. Everybody's like, I'm still not convinced yet. All right, here you go. Psalm 68. Remember, Psalms is it's the biggest book in the Bible, 150 chapters. And it's basically one big song book. The biggest book in the Bible is basically a big song about God and about the story of God and about our part to play in it. But I want you to say this very first with me, first word in the verse 4 with me. Are you ready for this? Ready? Sing. Try it with me again. It's sing. No prerequisite. You don't have to be a good singer. It's just command. Sing to God. Sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him, for his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows is God in his holy dwelling. That's who we're singing to. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then the command that goes with it of how we prepare for that. And this is Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 20. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on now, that's Ephesians. We're moving through the New Testament and we're speeding through this, laying the premise for why do we sing. Those are good reasons because the Bible's telling us so. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, you want to hear what the song and the sound of heaven sounds like? Here's what it says, starting in verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. That's a lot of eyes. Day and night, they never stop saying, say it with me, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In verse 9, it says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay down their crowns, the crowns representing their lives, before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.
Wow, it's beautiful. It's not just the song that's being circulated through heaven. It's a song he's even singing over you. This is from Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I hope you realize God sings a lot of songs over you, and they are not songs of rebuke or condemnation. They are songs of hope. They are songs of grace, songs of love. And that's why we come into his space and collectively sing those songs back to him, because, man, could you imagine what his song sounds like? Woo! And we have been invited to sing a song back to him, to give back what he has given to us. And it doesn't just start or stop there, but it continues on.
It's the song and the sound of heaven, and we want heaven to come to earth. And that's what's happening when we're singing. That's why we sing. The Bible is full of scripture that invites and commands us to sing. It's one of God's love languages. If there was a love language that God had, it'd probably be words. That was Pastor Corey reminding us this week, like, you know, the five love languages from that book, right? The five languages. If God had a love language, it'd probably be words. And coming to us through songs and through prayer would be his words, the words that he loves to receive back from his people. And so song being one of those primary portals. And so if the Bible's telling us that we've got to sing, it's commanding us to sing, well, then there's a good reason why we should do it on Sundays when we gather as the church. There's a good reason why you and I should be finding ways to even sing to God in our private worship. I want to encourage you to do that, to step out and maybe just develop a little bit different rhythm than maybe what your propensity is. Not because you like it, but because he does. Yeah. And if he likes my voice, then I'm going to sing. And if he likes what I'm doing, then I'm going to do that because I'm here to serve him and him alone. We want to magnify Jesus and his story here on the earth, and give him praise for what he's worthy of. So when we gather, what could be happening or what is actually happening when we're singing? So these are going to be some tools. You ought to be writing some of this down. I'm just saying, if you're not a note taker in church, you should become one because this stuff could help you in what you're doing every week as you come and gather as the people of God. And we just want to give you some framework for, again, not an exhaustive list, but just some ideas of how you could use our time of singing in a powerful way in your life as a worshiper of God.
Yeah, so one of the things that's happening as we're worshiping is we're declaring truth about who God is and what he's done. And as a famous prophet, Phil Wickham, once said, our role as a worship leader and as songwriters is to give people the clearest image of who we're worshiping. And you know, scripture tells us that the God who created the stars, named them all, knows them by name, is the same God that in your mother's womb, who knitted you, knows your name as well. And the same God that spoke the world into existence with that very same breath is the same God, or is the same breath actually that we're living into today. It's the breath that's sustaining us even in this very moment. And in John 4, 23 to 24, it says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And when we profess truth, we become more aware of the truth, the person of truth, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. And truth always reveals Christ. And here's a few scriptures that tells us exactly that. In John 14, 6, it says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in verse 15 through 17, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And in Psalm 119, it says, the sum of your word is truth. And so when we sing songs of praise and we worship with songs that are steeped in truth and scripture, he is glorified for what he's done, is doing, and what he's going to continue to do.
So right. And it's so much more beyond just declaring. It's also how are we coming into the space to praise him for what he's done. Psalm 150 verses 1 through 2 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And then when you go to verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you haven't caught your breath in the last second, that is you and I. Everything that has breath has been called out to praise him. And we praise him because of his transforming work in our lives. I have crawled across the stage being in the peak of what I believe God's called me, but I've also been on this stage when I was at the lowest point of my life. And everywhere in between, these songs that we get to gather and collectively praise out are what exactly got me through some of those stages, because it's from being reminded of what God is faithfully and constantly doing. And it's also knowing your stories. Every week we get prayer requests and of the things that are going on. And that's why we lift up these songs. That is why we come together and lift them up. And then in Psalms 43, it says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. People are pointed back to him when we sing these new songs of praise because we have seen his transformational work in our lives.
That's so good, Harm. So, so good. Another way, or another thing that happens rather, while we're worshiping is that we are proclaiming our desire to see God's kingdom come here on earth in and through us. And so this reminds me, of course, of the Lord's Prayer when Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was Jesus's prayer. So shouldn't this also be our prayer? And so as we're worshiping, what we're doing is we're declaring this of God, like, I want your kingdom to come. I know personally for me, and I'm sure there's some people in the room here, it's really easy for me to get my kingdom to come and for me to want my kingdom to come and for me to further my kingdom, but that's not what it's about. And I think one of the most beautiful things about congregational singing is that we're reminding each other that that's why we're here. We're reminding our peers and the people that are neighbors that are sitting next to us of going, hey, this it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. And that's the reason why we're here, to declare that he is the reason. And we want his kingdom to come first. And I think about how there's just this collective desire, and it starts with us. And so when we're declaring this, it's starting with us. We're saying, God, start with me. Work in me first. Work in me so I can pour out to others, to sing that over people that are around us, and to help further his kingdom from the inside out.
Very good, very good. Another thing that could be happening, or that is happening when we sing and worship together in this space, is repenting from our sin and longing for more of his holiness. Do you long for his holiness today? In Psalm 28, verse 6 and 7, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him. And so when you walk in here, I don't know if you know this, but none of us up here are better than you in the crowd. Sin, when it steps onto the field, it levels the playing field. And if we're honest with ourselves, each of us, the past week, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. So when we step into a place like this, it's our opportunity to repent and to say, God, I want more of you. I want more of your holiness. And if you didn't know this, in the verse it says, he hears your cry. So that's our opportunity when we step into a space like this, is to repent and to step into more of his holiness.
So true. He hears our cry. It's not just the beautiful, happy ones, but it's even those broken ones. He hears us through our lamenting for the broken places in our lives and the lives around us and across this world. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray or sing, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. How often have you thought of a wordless groan as a beautiful melody? But you know what? The way the Spirit can intercede in that and actually translate that back to the Father, it is the most beautiful sound. So maybe you come into this space and sometimes the happy clappy songs aren't necessarily what's going to connect for you. That's okay. Allow there to be space too, where your voice and your wordless groans are lifted back to a God that knows exactly where and how to use those for his glory.
You know, I think about the little phrases in between that we sing in songs, like, oh, 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 like these beautiful melodies that have no words, but there's something inside of us that feels like it's connected to the Spirit of God, even in those in-betweens. And I just wonder, is that the Spirit interceding on our behalf? In those moments of the wordless groans of the people of God, this God, we're desperate for a touch of heaven that we know only you can bring. And so we're crying out with words we don't even have. Would you intercede for us as you promise us in the scripture? Speaking of interceding, I think that's one of the ways we could be using our worship, through singing together. Or it's one of the things that for me is happening when I'm leading worship. There's a lot of praying going on. A lot of this for me is because I know a lot of your stories. It's one of the most important things for us as worship leaders. We talk about this a lot. You've got to know stories of what's going on in the lives of the people that call Hillside home. I know there's sick bodies in our room. There's marriages that are struggling. There's parents who are grieving because their kids are running far from God into things that aren't going to bring them life. So there's broken hearts. There's people in financial trouble. There's people looking for jobs. There's some single people looking for a relationship with God. Don't worry, it's just God's word. But there's an opportunity for us to intercede for one another, for those people in our lives who are broken and hurting and need a touch of heaven. James 5, 15 through 16, it says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. What if our songs could be prayers offered in faith? Not just for us. It's not a selfish thing, but it's actually praying for people that we love or the stories that we know that need him. And then listen to the promise here. The Lord will raise them up. If they sin, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. But the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. One of the most powerful ways we can use our time of singing is to intercede, which means to pray for others. And then finally, just one more tool for your toolbox as you come into church on the weekend. I believe that one of the most powerful things that happens when we come together is that we're unifying and aligning our kingdom intentions as the body of Christ. There's this great song that the band Delirious, the great band from the UK from the 90s. If you don't know Delirious, you're missing out. But they wrote this great song called Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble? And one of the verses in the song says, when all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. It's when the people of God come together, aligning our hearts, desires, for as Ashley mentioned, his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're singing for. There's all kinds of various diversity at a church like Hillside. There's socioeconomic diversity. There's diversity in our stories and our backgrounds. There's ethnic diversity. There's diversity in the traumas we've all experienced in our stories. There's different things that we bring in here. There's different political views. There's different hopes and dreams we're aiming towards. But there's this beautiful thing that happens when all the streams come together to say, Jesus, we want to make much of you here on the earth. We want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. And if that was the case, that we were using that and recognizing when we're all singing the same song at the same time, we would recognize that we're living in one of the greatest places in the world. Because my friends in India today can't do what we're doing in this moment without persecution. And on this day where we celebrate the independence of a nation that says there's an opportunity for you and for me to lift up the name of Jesus, it's a beautiful moment for us. We get this week in and week out, the opportunity to come and worship God freely. I've been all over the world. Every time I land here, I say, God, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to lift you high, to make much of your name here in our country. And that should be our collective desire as we come together to say, God, we want to see your kingdom come in Rancho Cucamonga, in our surrounding cities here, in the United States of America and to the ends of the earth. We want the name of Jesus to be magnified and lifted up. If that would happen, we'd be fulfilling Jesus' prayer in John 17. And this takes work because we got to lay down the right to ourselves to take up the kingdom. But listen to Jesus' prayer for all believers. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me and have loved us. Love them even as you have loved me. It's Jesus' prayer in John 17, just before he, a couple chapters later, heads towards a cross to lay down his life for us. He's praying that we would be one. And I can't think of a better day in what feels like a nation that's so divided that we would say, oh God, we want to be the people that in a moment of division are so clearly unified. And our unity comes from your kingdom, and it comes from your story coming alive in our stories. And we get to see that play out in this beautiful nation that we love as we watch you pour out revival in and through us to the people around us. So our singing unifies us. And today we're gonna do a little bit more of that. Are you ready to do that? To raise your hallelujah? We recognize in some of these ideas that our greatest weapon, like this song says, is our melody. And so I want you to stand to your feet together, and I want us to sing, and maybe use one of these tools as you sing to just worship God, to recognize that he's for us, he's not against us. We're gonna raise our hallelujah together in Jesus' name.